All right. Hi, guys. How are you doing? Well, I was counting as I was sitting there and realizing that it has been 9 years since I've lived in New York City, and it was probably about this in August, or 9 years ago, when I came up here and spoke to you guys about leaving and going to New York and seeing that as a mission field, and you guys kind of sending me off, and have sort of loved and supported me the whole journey. But a lot changes in 9 years, so I kind of want to do just a little survey, so I know my audience a little bit better. So raise your hand if you've heard of A House on Beekman, if you know what A House on Beekman is, or you've heard of it. Okay, great. Okay, and then we do this measurement when we're talking to our camp counselors, and we just came from camp, so I'm in camp mode. We're going to do fist to five. So fist, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How well would you say you could tell me what A House on Beekman is, what we do, our different programs, stuff like that. So fist or one would be like, I don't really know. I just know that I've heard of it. You guys are in the Bronx, I think. Five would be like, I read your blog every week. I could tell you every single story, every single program, every single whatever. So fist to five. We've got a five over here. Brad, great job. Okay, perfect. Awesome. Okay, that helps me. So, my name is Sarah. I think Georgie didn't know me or Hassan Beekman. So, Georgie, my name is Sarah. And I lead a ministry called A House on Beekman in the Bronx. And at A House on Beekman, our larger mission, we say why we exist, is to join God in the renewal of the South Bronx. So we believe that sort of the whole narrative, and this is, I spoke about this last time I was here, the whole narrative of the story of God is that he created the world. There's sort of four parts. Creation, he created the world and it was good. Then sin came into the world. Then three, Jesus came and died on the cross to forgive us and to reconcile all things, the whole scope of creation, back to himself. And then the fourth is renewal, and that's sort of the part that we haven't come to yet. God says in the Bible that he is renewing all things. And when he died on the cross, one thing he did was he reconciled all things to himself. But we know that that hasn't quite come to fruition yet, because we look around and we see all things aren't reconciled. Like, all things are not perfect. And so part of our job in this moment in time on earth as God's people is to join him in the work of renewal that he is doing in our world. He's, for some reason, left that up to us and lets us join him in his work. And so at A House on Beekman, that's what we do. We're just joining him in the work that's happening in the South Bronx, and the work that he is doing in the South Bronx. And you'll see that as I sort of go through some of the different things that have happened this year, we don't just talk about God or just teach our kids the Bible. Education and their social-emotional development and what happens in their home is just as important to us as teaching them about Jesus, because God made all of those things, and God cares about all of those things. And when he died, he reconciled all of those things back to himself. And so he is doing the work of renewing every little thing. He cares about the park that my kids play in. He cares about the schools that they go to. And so that work is just as important to us as anything else. So that's sort of the setting the stage. So this morning, I'm just sort of going to go through and talk to you guys about what we've been up to this year at A House on Beekman, and sort of go through our different programs and tell you the things that have changed and tell you the sort of the latest news and the updates of things that are going on, because I think that's what you guys want to hear from me. So that's what I'm giving you. So in case you don't know, this is our grand mission is to join God in the renewal of all things, which is a huge mission, right? So where we're starting from, our starting point, is we are creating a seamless series of programs from birth to college to empower our neighbors to break the cycles of generational poverty that exist. So this is sort of our five-year vision, if you will, to create this seamless series of programs that will raise up the next generation in the South Bronx to break the cycles of poverty. And then we expect our kids, sort of that. So that's one generation. But then we expect our kids to be the ones who then partner and join God in the renewal of our entire neighborhood. So my hope and my dream is that my kids will grow. I'm not gonna focus on renewing our healthcare system or our hospital or our parks department. But my hope is that we'll raise a generation of kids that will then go out into all of these sectors, and they'll grow up to be a doctor, and they'll care so much about the South Bronx and renewing the South Bronx that they'll come back to the Bronx to be a doctor. And they'll work in Lincoln Hospital where Legionnaire's disease is because they don't clean the water coolers or whatever. And they'll renew that hospital, and they'll be the teachers in our schools, and they'll start businesses in our neighborhood, and they will, as the next generation of people living and working in the South Bronx, they will sort of infiltrate all of these sectors, and they will be the ones to really fulfill that larger mission of renewing the whole South Bronx. So with that in mind, I'm going to go through our programs and tell you what's been going on. So currently, we have in this sort of grand plan, we've got from birth to fifth grade right now. So I'm going to talk about these three different programs today and sort of what's happened in them this year. So in our Babies to Three program, we got a new space, which is amazing. So that program has been up. This is its fourth year operating, and we've been in one, two, three, probably four different spaces, hopping around from church to church, just whoever will let us use their space. And so this year, for the first time, we have our own space, so we can really, as you can see, like really set it up. So that it's like a good environment for our kids to really explore and learn and play and just a good environment for them to come and have that program. So that's been a cool thing. Then this, another thing we did is hire this girl. Her name is Josemari, and she was born and raised in the South Bronx. And we hired her to help us to reach our Spanish-speaking families. So the Bronx is 66%, two-thirds, Latino. And so there's a huge Spanish-speaking population in our neighborhood. And now we're able to offer these parenting classes and these services for our moms and dads in Spanish because we have a translator, and she's also in training to just facilitate the classes herself. So this is Josemari. This is her teaching one of our classes, and this is her with one of our Spanish-speaking families, which really historically haven't been a part of our program, of our Mommy and Me program in the past because of the language barrier. And so this is her on a home visit with one of our Spanish-speaking families. And we've really been able to see a lot of new families. Oh, no, I didn't start my timer. Well, that was all bonus time. So we've been able to see incredible growth in new families be able to come to us because Josemari's been in our staff. And so that's been a really cool thing that's happened this year, too. Another thing that we implemented in our program this year that I've wanted to do for a really long time, but we just haven't been able to, is implementing a home visiting component to our program. Which is really important because right up until this point, our moms have come to us, to our Babies to Three program, formerly known as Mommy and Me, to be able to learn about all the different things that they want and need to know. But now we have trained staff who can go into their homes and, one, make sure that what they're being taught in the classroom is actually being translated into their home setting, which is 100% the goal. But B, we've been able, you know, you saw our facility. It has toys and it's beautiful and nice and filled to the brim with things that will help stimulate our babies. But a lot of our parents don't have all that kind of stuff at home. And so one thing that our home visits really focus on are teaching our moms how to implement the things that they've learned in the classroom in their home with regular objects. So just with cups and with paper clips or with just regular household items that you might have, ways that you can stimulate your child's development just using a box that your Amazon package came in or something like that. So that's been really empowering for our moms as well to be able to know with the things that they have in their home, how can I use those things to teach my child and to empower my child. Lastly, for babies to three, we changed the name. Before it's been Mommy and Me, and now it we call it Babies to Three, to include dads. It's one thing that we've always wanted to do, but hadn't really been able to do until this year. And so we've seen, this is one of our wonderful dads, Cole, who's reading to the class. But we've seen a few dads come in this year, and that's been a really, really good thing for these moms who have men in their lives, for those men to be able to come and hear the same sort of things that they're hearing so that co-parenting can happen, which if anyone in this room who has children and is parenting with a partner, you know how important that is to be on the same page and to come at it with a united front. And so that's been really important. Cole, the guy in the, he wrote this about his experience with Babies to Three. He said, "The Babies to Three program at Ahasan Beekman has really been an unexpected blessing to my family. It's provided us a place to learn, grow, and share with other parents within our community. So for that, I'm grateful. I discovered the program this past fall when my wife was teaching in Manhattan, and so for the first time, it was just me and the baby all day, every day. I was very intimidated at first by this new situation I found myself in, wondering how I was going to do it. Fortunately, I was walking past the storefront, the facade of Ahasan Beekman, one fall morning when a woman whose son is in the pre-K managed to convince me to come inside and meet the director. Right away, I connected with them, and right away, I felt comfortable there. I began to attend frequently and consider and consistently after that, and it really helped me in that season just to know that there was a place that I could go where there was community, support, and acceptance." So one thing that we've done this year, too, is we had one of our foundation partners gave us a grant to implement metrics in our program so that we could really measure our impact. And so I'm going to tell you some of the metrics that came out of our Babies to Three program this year. So before our parents filled out this survey, and 22% of them said that when they entered the program, they spoke to their child in a warm tone. 22% said that they spoke to their child in a warm tone. At the end of our program, 89% said that they now speak to their child in a warm tone because they learned at Babies to Three that that's a really important thing for their child to hear their parents speaking to them in a loving, warm tone. At the beginning, 33% said that they physically engaged with their child. 33% said that they regularly physically engaged with their child. And by the end, 100% said that they regularly physically engaged with their child. At the beginning, 0% said that they supported their child in making his or her own choices. which is definitely a theme that you'll hear throughout my update this morning, is it's a huge thing that we are teaching at A House on Beekman, the importance of giving children choices and letting them own those choices and supporting them in their own choices so that when they grow up, they can be people who can make choices by themselves and who can be independent and own their own stuff. And so 0% so that they supported their children in making their own choices at the beginning, and now 89% said that they supported their children in making their own choices. At the beginning, 25% said that they verbally encouraged their child's efforts, 25%. And then at the end, 100% said that they regularly verbally encouraged their child's efforts. And if you're a parent or you are an aunt, you know how important is it to encourage your children. That's such an important part of development, but something that just isn't a part of our culture in the Bronx. And so something that they learned in our Babies to Three class is really important to encourage, to verbally encourage your children. So how amazing is it that these babies are going to grow up having now heard words of encouragement spoken over them? How different is their life going to be because of that? It's really encouraging to me. So the second program is our preschool program, which there's everything I could tell you about our preschool program would be an update this year because it's brand new this year. So we started with a group of infants, I guess 4 years ago now, and this past fall they turned three, so it's time for them to go to preschool. There are not, there's very few options for preschool in our neighborhood, and there are thousands of kids who are eligible to go to preschool. And so that was certainly a need, so we started a preschool for those babies that I was in the hospital when they were born. They turned three this year, and we started a preschool for them. Some of the, I'm going to kind of talk through a few of the main things of that program. So these are our kids learning how to play instruments. One of the huge things that we do at A House on Beekman is give our kids just opportunities that they wouldn't get otherwise. And so this is an opportunity to learn about instruments and how they work and stuff like that. One of the main tenets of our preschool program is a conflict resolution method. Again, pushing back on our kids that they're the ones who need to own their conflict and figure out how to solve conflicts with each other instead of us solving a conflict for them. So our it's a huge part of the curriculum. And our kid, the sort of how it goes is that when there's a problem, the teacher originally, but now the little preschoolers say, "We have a problem." We say that, "We have a problem," and then state the problem. So in this situation, Jaleese and Mahogany, it looks like Mahogany wanted to play. They both wanted to play with a certain doll. So we have a problem. You both want to play with a doll, but you can't have it at the same time. How can we solve the problem? We ask that. That's all these phrases are phrases that now the kids say all the time. How can we solve the problem? And then they come up with the kids. We don't give them the solutions. The kids on their own come up with different solutions. We say, does that work for you? Does that work for you? A lot of times it's no. So let's figure out a different solution that works for everyone. And at the end, we solve the problem. So we have a big celebration every time we solve the problem. And so now it's really amazing and cute to hear our kids using that language on their own now after a year of doing that. We'll just be, they'll be having their independent playtime and we'll hear out of the corner, "We have a problem," or we'll hear, hey, Sloan, we solved the problem. So that's a really cool thing that's happening as three-year-olds. They're solving conflict with each other, which fast forward to when they're in high school, when they're 22 years old, when they're at their first job, it's going to be really important for them to be able to solve conflicts in a healthy way. So that's a really encouraging thing that's happening in our preschool program. A huge part of what we do is independent play for our kids to be able to use their imagination and be creative and really develop that muscle. We also, this is Mista, another thing that we is important to us is our kids' academic growth. One thing in particular, a lot of people don't like math, right? If you ask a lot of people what was your favorite or what was your least favorite subject, they would say math. And there's a lot of research out there right now about how preschoolers learn math, and it's not really in an orderly fashion. They normally learn language in more of an orderly fashion. They recognize print, and then they're able to say letters and stuff like that. But with math, it's sort of all over the place and out of order, and they're learning concepts more just in their normal life. And when they're playing and they want to make a giraffe with, you know, this one is longer than this one, and the legs need to be the same size, so can I find two blocks that are the same size, but the tail needs to be a little shorter, and so our kids are learning math, and that's a big thing that I'm teaching them is math through just regular life, and how many steps is it going to take us to get to the playground, and stuff like that, and that's been a cool thing to hear from our kids, or to watch our kids learn. One last thing on preschool before I get to our after-school program is I know my mom talked to you, told you guys this last week, and so many people have been coming up to me about this. We received funding from the city of New York part of their an initiative that they're calling Universal Pre-K. So they are trying to provide free preschool for every 4-year-old in New York City. They're doing that by partnering with existing high-quality preschools. And so we are one of those existing high-quality preschools that they're partnering with. So they are going to fully fund our preschool for the next 3 years, at least, with 2 years of options to renew. And then hopefully, as we grow, if they see that after working with us for a year that we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing, and we are a high-quality program, which we are, then we'll get more funding as we're able to grow the number of kids as well. So that's a really amazing, but also working with the city comes with all sorts of bureaucracy and hard things as well, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. But huge answer to prayer, huge blessing. So last, our after-school program. So we had two major goals this year for our after-school program. One was that our kids would own their learning, that they would take ownership of their own learning. There's a lot of studies out there that talk about kids in poverty and how they learn, and sort of there has been a lot of efforts around really drilling things into kids, and a lot of sort of high stakes pushing kids, and they saw a lot of early success in that, so they were closing the achievement gap by doing that. But then when kids would go off on their own, like go to college, or when they would get out of that environment where people were really pushing them, then they totally failed and dropped out of college before their first year, and they didn't have the internal skills and the internal motivation to be able to own their own learning, because it was always sort of pushed on them. And so that's one thing that it's harder and it's longer, but that was one of our main goals this year, is that our kids would own their own learning, that it wouldn't be me telling them to do this, but that it would be them owning their own process. And we've seen that happen in some really exciting ways. One way that we've really implemented this is through our goal system. So I'm super excited and passionate about this. So each of our kids, we have an hour of work time where they're doing their homework. And once they're done with their homework, then they have set these, each week they set goals, academic goals for themselves. So this week I want to learn my threes times tables, because that's an area that I'm weak in. And so one thing we teach them, okay, don't just don't just run to the thing that you're really good at and just do that because it's fun. Really look and think, where are the areas that I'm struggling? Where are the areas that I really need help? And tackle those. And so our kids can now identify without me telling them what they're good at or what they're struggling at. This is an area where I'm struggling and I need to work on it. And so they set goals every single week, and then they lay out exactly how they're going to achieve that goal, the strategy that they're going to use every single day. Today, Monday, I'm going to use flashcards. Tuesday, I'm going to practice with a partner. Wednesday, I'm going to do a workbook page to see if I can do it in under 1 minute. So they're like setting all of this by themselves. And then by the end of the week, they see, okay, did I meet that goal? And that's been a really exciting thing for our kids, to see them achieving these goals. So one thing that... is really common in areas of poverty, and something that we've definitely noticed in our kids is that there's a fixed mindset of learning, which means that our kids think, I'm either smart or I'm stupid, or I either can do math or I can't do math, or I can read or I can't read, but there's no working on it and getting better. And so this teaches our kids that you make a goal and you work toward it and you can achieve it. And seeing our kids realize that and have those successes has really been life-changing for them in their academic life, to be able to change that mindset to, you know what, if I'm struggling with something, first of all, that's a good thing. I'm about to learn something. Second of all, I can tackle this, and I can figure out strategies to meet this goal and to really succeed. So we've seen our kids do that, and that's been really amazing. The second goal that we had was for our kids to establish a healthy peer community. We've seen that happen in a lot of ways as well. These are some of our kids during their passion project, and Alex is just an sort of an anecdote. Alex was younger and he didn't feel like he could keep up. And so Elijah, one of the older boys, throughout that entire passion project, we really saw him like stepping in and including the kids. And we've overheard and seen a lot of ways that our kids have grown in their confidence and in their community with each other, because they have really established a healthy peer community, which is really important. So where we're going in the next in the next year or two, we want to complete this seamless series of programs. So we're birth to fifth grade right now, and we want to expand to our middle school and high school students. We have that UPK funding, like I talked about, which is a huge blessing. It also is going to be really tricky for us to get all of the, there's all sorts of reporting and all sorts of things that we need to do now because we're a part of this big system. And so that's another way that you can pray for us and keep us in mind when you think about that. Just pray that we'll be able to really dedicate the time that we need to meet their standards and meet the reporting that they need. One of our big goals this year is to work with our parents more. So this year we really focused on the peer community and helping our kids be able to solve conflicts with each other and helping them to really have that establish a good community with each other. And now we are sort of our next area that we've said we really want to work on is including our parents in that, and really helping our parents to become more engaged in their child's education and in their child's development. So that's sort of the next one of the next big things that we want to do, and something that you can definitely think about us and pray for us this year that we would be able to do that. So thanks so much. Yeah. Yeah.
The ones that you've known from the very beginning only in your school?
Yeah, so in our preschool?
Preschool and after school.
Yeah, so in our preschool, those are the kids that we like started with at birth and said, these are our kids that we're going to follow all the way through. And the majority of them are kids that have been with us since birth. I think it's like 75% of our four-year-olds now have been with us since Mommy and Me days. We've added a few more along the way as we've had open and available spots. With our after-school program, you know, we didn't start with those kids at birth because they're in fifth grade, and we just started 4 years ago. So a lot of those kids, though, are kids that have been with us since the beginning. I would say probably definitely a majority have been with us since our first year of after school, and now we're committed to growing with those kids as they grow. Thus, wanting to start a middle school program and a high school program because our kids are now growing into those grades for sure. So, any other questions? I didn't know this was going to be a Q&A. Love it. Cool. Thank you guys so much for loving House on Beekman and caring about us and coming up to the Bronx and supporting us and all of that. It means a lot to me to have a home church that I feel sent from. Yeah.
So where do you learn all these approaches and
things to try? Well, one thing I knew really early on, so I am certainly, Mike told me not to do that. I am certainly not an expert in any of these fields, especially when I started. I was 22, 23 years old. So one thing that I did early on was surround myself with people who are a lot smarter than me. And who are experts in these fields. So each of these programs has a director that's highly qualified to be doing this work and that really knows the latest research for preschool, for like 3 and 4 year old development, and the latest research for elementary school development and baby development and all of that. So I'd say mostly those key people, first of all, have been trained in this, have been educated in this, and have had years and years of experience in this field, but then also are always constantly reading and researching and as a part of their job, learning what are the best practices across America and across our world to figure out how can we best equip our kids to succeed. Well, I'm way over time, and that story would take...
You're the only one that's got a time.
Sort of each of those people came to us in different ways, but mostly through our church partners in New York. And sort of each of them came to us individually. So, in different ways. They're paid, for sure. Yeah, I mean, all of them started out as volunteers, but this is a full-time job. And with our preschool, I mean, it's a school. It is a certified school, just like Foster Elementary School. So we have to have full-time, highly qualified people teaching our kids that. So, yeah. Anything else? How many employees? Full and part-time, we have 13. Let's see, about half of those are full-time and half of those are part-time staff. So, serving. Yeah, so on an annual basis, we serve about 175. That includes camp. So in our programs throughout the school year, it's about 100. In all of the different programs combined. So, yeah. Anything else? Okay. Thanks. You thought you were getting rid of me. Encore performance. No, I'm gonna give the closing thought today. Talking about a house on Beekman is what I would normally do to any sort of church partner that we have. But you guys are different in that you're my people and you're my fam. And so I also, again, a little bonus for you. wanted to share with you guys about how I'm doing and about my journey this year. It's been a really hard year for me personally and in my spiritual journey. The school year is what I refer to as year. Last September, I was feeling really disconnected to God, and I sort of started, I had my quiet time every morning, I talked to him every day, but I wasn't hearing from him. I didn't feel like my relationship with him was new or fresh in any way. I was longing for times years ago when I was just on fire for him, and I was learning new things from him all the time, and he was speaking really loudly, and I was longing for that time again, but that certainly wasn't in the time that I was in. Then probably in about February, things with a house on Beekman sort of came to a boiling over point. There were lots of things that felt just very out of my control, and no matter what, like we're trying, man, okay, stop. Everything that we were trying, we were doing an excellent job. We were really doing everything that we could, but things were falling apart anyway. We had I was looking out over our projections for the next year, and I felt really passionate about growing and about providing programming for our teenagers, but we just didn't have the funding. And not only did we not have the funding to grow, but it looked like we were going to have to close some of our programs, which was just heartbreaking for me, even though our fundraising sort of initiatives were better than they'd ever been before. That was totally out of my control, and my staff was sort of coming to me with ways that they needed me to lead them. I'm the youngest person on our staff, and I'm the least qualified person on our staff, and they're coming to me with these huge, sort of large issues that they need me to lead them, and they need me to teach them how to navigate some of these really complicated things that we deal with working in our neighborhood, and I didn't know how to do it. And so this one in February, I sort of came to this breaking point, and I don't know why I'm crying. I was just broken before God. And it was the first time that in a long time that I was really like that. And I just told him, like, God, I don't know, why did you choose me to do this? I can't do this. Why didn't you choose someone who was more qualified? Why didn't you choose someone who how am I leading this thing when my relationship with you isn't even, like, awesome right now? And I broke, and I was in our little babies to three area. We all sort of call that our little retreat because it's just so warm and fuzzy and nice in there. And so I just sat in there, and I cried for hours, and I just asked God, like, You're going to have to step in because I can't do this. And that brokenness is the hardest place to be, but it's the best place to be. Because when we are broken, that is when God can be strong. And that is when he can display his power. And so I sort of said to him, I can't do this. And he said to me, you're right, Sarah, you can't do this, but I can. And you have taken this from me, and you have tried to do it on your own. And you can't do it on your own. This is mine. I started this, so give it back to me. And so I spent a few days fasting and in confession and really admitting to God all the ways that I had tried to muscle through a house on Beekman on my own, and ways that I had said, actually, God, I think my way is the better way. And I confessed all of those things to him, and I asked him to really take it back. And really, in that moment, sort of the floodgates opened over those few days, and God sort of spoke to me about ways that I needed to change my life so that I could make more room for him to speak and to grow. And over the next couple of months, he sort of, in all these different ways, I was doing all these different studies about God speaking. I was doing experiencing God with one of my friends. Brad and I went on a trip to South Africa that someone took us on, one of our donors took us on a vacation, but part of it was this spiritual teaching part, and that the topic that they were teaching about was about God speaking, and there were sort of several different ways like that, and so I said, okay, maybe God, you're trying to talk to me, if in a lot of different ways you're talking to me about this, and I just sort of reset and relearned how to listen to God, and how to hear from him, and then how to watch and see what he is doing and respond to that instead of making my own plans and just forcing them to happen. And as soon as that happened, God sort of answered those bigger things that felt like they were falling apart. God like swooped in. So one thing was we needed $150K to get to the place where we would be, where we weren't going to have to cut programs and where we could possibly grow. And so I said, God, I need you to write me a check for $150,000. No one's ever written me a check for that much money before. I didn't know who I could go to that could do that. And so I said, God, you're going to need to send me a check in the mail for $150K. The next week is when the UPK funding opened up, and God dropped that in our lap, which is $150K a year, like the exact number. Then I went on this trip to South Africa, and all of the things that my staff had said, I need you to teach me about this, or we need you to lead us in these ways, those were the topics that they covered on that trip to South Africa, which was like the next month. I could tell you, like, this has happened all summer long. We wanted to move our after school into a different space so that it could grow, because right now it and our preschool are maxed out capacity-wise, and so in order for those programs to grow, we needed to move one of them to a different space. We had $2,000 a month to pay. That's what my board approved, was $2,000 a month. We can afford $2,000 a month for a new space. And all the spaces were asking for double that. And so what I probably would have done before was muscle my way through and try and make it happen. But instead, I had a little intern this summer, and me, not a little intern, I had an intern this summer, and we, when I said, okay, Anna, like, if God wants this to happen, we're going to let God make this happen. And so we sat there and we prayed that someone would give it to us for $2,000 a month. Then we called all the people and we said, will you give it to us for $2,000 a month? One of them came back and said, sure, we'll drop half. We'll drop our rent in half and give it to you for $2,000 a month. So I wanted to sort of just encourage you guys and let you know what's been going on in my life personally and my journey this year. It's not always easy to do this work, and a lot of times I just talk about the good things and the ways that God is moving and see it through rose-colored glasses, but sometimes it's really hard, and as the leader, it's really hard. But God is good, and he is faithful, and if I let him do it, he's got it covered so much more than I could ever. He can do so much more than I could ever do, and he proved that to me this year. So I just wanted to share that with you guys as well.
God, you are so very, very good to us. We're so thankful to know you, and we're so thankful to be redeemed by you. And the things that Sarah was talking about today is you're trying to put things back the way they ought to be, the way you intended them to be. And we're so very thankful to be a part of that. And God, it is It is quite an honor to know, sir. And we thank you for the way that you break her, and we thank you for the way that she listens to you. We thank you for answering her. We thank you for the how difficult this year it's been and how much of a blessing you've turned it into. We thank you for what you taught her, and God, we thank you for her heart that would share that with us so that we also could learn even here this morning. And God, we want that. All of us, we want that same spirit. We ask you to guide us here in this place as well, to turn everything over to you. And God, as Sarah and Brad, well, God, I just thank you for bringing them together. I thank you for the strength of their marriage, and we pray for the strength of their marriage and their blessing to each other to keep them strong. And God, as they return, we ask you to continue to show your love, to shine your light, to lead the way. God, we love hearing the stories of how you're working in ways that no man, no woman could orchestrate. There's no one like you. Thank you for your son that picked us up out of the mess that we've made. And thank you for continuing to change us, for being ever faithful. And we lay all this before you in Jesus' name. Amen.